to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Well, good morning, C3 family. Hi, big guys. Hello from the Sunshine Coast. Want to say good morning to everyone at C3 Hepburn Heights, there with Pastor Jason and Emma and your campus pastors, Ben and Karen. A big hello to everybody at Quinn's Beach with Steve and Nicole. Everybody there at the Book It. Come on, Rachel and Emmanuel, the newlyweds.
Yes,
great to
beautiful.
Be with you guys this morning, and with Joel and Michaela in North Perth. And your online community. What a privilege for us to be with you today.
Oh, we're sending you all our love here from C3 Powerhouse. Jason and Emma, we miss coming to see you in person this year, but we're sending our love and just have loved watching you lean in this year. We just admire your boldness and your flexibility
totally. In
sometimes difficult circumstances, and have just seen the creativity bloom through you guys this year and in your team. We just know your team, and they're so dedicated.
Amazing.
They're so spirit-led.
A brilliant
team. Such hard working people. So we just want to shout you out today and send our love to you.
We love you guys, and I'm looking forward to preaching this message this morning. So
yes,
thanks, babe, for joining
great.
Us.
Love you guys.
I love my wife. She's awesome. She so often will talk together, and sometimes I ask her to tell me some things I can improve on. Just recently she gave me two. First one was I need to listen better. And the second one I can't quite remember. Probably need to listen better. I want to preach to you today about a message called But God. And it's a book that Pastor Phil wrote many years ago, reflecting the fact that in the Word of God, over 60 times this phrase, But God, comes through. The devil did this. He put Joseph in fetters. He put him as a slave, but God delivered him. And so this expression comes over and over, and it builds faith in our heart. And I want to share with you around that today. Casey is a young lady who's recently joined our church. At the start of the year, her lifestyle went like this. She was crippled with anxiety. About three times a week, she would find herself at her local hospital, suffering from panic attacks, thinking she was going to die. She had a teenage daughter, and her life was overwhelmed and terrible. During COVID, it got worse. And so someone shared a link when all our churches were only online. Someone shared a link with her of our service, and she began to watch. And then she did an alpha course. And then she began to come along regularly. And as she connected with Jesus, she found the transforming power of God changed her. But God delivered her from her anxiety and panic attacks. Recently, she's joined our team. She stood up on stage in front of everybody here at church and shared what a relationship with Jesus has done in her life. Now, I don't know today as you're watching in the different locations and online, I'm not sure where you are with Jesus. Maybe your friends invited you to church. Maybe you've been coming for a little while. I want to tell you today that if you don't yet have a relationship with God, it could be that today is the day that will change everything for you. But God could transform your life if you'll just let him into your heart. It doesn't matter what's going on in our world. Maybe it's anxiety like Casey you're struggling with. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's financial pressure. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's a lack of purpose or a loss of confidence. There could be trouble in your marriage. Maybe your kids are just rebelled and it's killing you and eating you away. They've gone rogue. Today, a relationship with Jesus could be just the beginning of a radical transformation and a But God moment. You might be a member of the church and some of those things would describe what you've been going through. You've got a relationship with Christ, but you're overwhelmed by circumstances or situations, some of them not through your own doing. Today, my prayer is that in spite of what's happened in 2020, faith would rise in your heart for a But God moment. I want to talk out of the life of Jesus about five key ingredients of a But God journey. And this is consistent for Bible characters over and over and consistent for the Christian life. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. I'll pick it up at the end of verse 1. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor before God's throne. It's amazing what Jesus did for us as the example for our life. The first thing that happened for Jesus and happens for all of us in our faith journey, our but God journey, is to understand this. God has plans and promises for every individual one of us. Jeremiah verse 29 verse 11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope." I want you to know that no matter where you are, how long you've been a Christian, or if you're not yet connected with God, that since the beginning of time, before the creation of the world, the Bible tells us that God created us with a purpose and a plan. And he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And when you get born again, when you became a Christian, when you were created anew in Christ, it was for the good works that God prepared beforehand for your life. And so God's plans are for us. It was the same with Jesus. God had a plan for sending him to planet Earth. His plan was that he would come and show us what he's really like. You could look at Jesus and know what God's really like. His plan that Jesus would demonstrate God's love and power through doing amazing miracles of healing and provision in people's lives. He still does those things. His plan that Jesus would come and he would teach us the way to live, the right way to live. His plan that he was come and announce that God's kingdom was coming from heaven into the hearts of men and women on earth. His plan was Jesus would come to destroy the works of the devil that are ruining our lives. His plan was that he would train up and raise 12 young men that would go on to become world changers, apostles that would change the world because of Jesus. His plan that one day he would be whipped in a praetorium by Roman guards to take our sickness upon himself. His plan was that he would be crucified on a cross for us to take our sin and be punished on our behalf. His plan was that he'd be raised from the dead so that we could have a new life in him and spend eternity with him. God has plans and promises for all of us, and he did for Jesus. Now, he doesn't reveal them all to us, otherwise it would be overwhelming for us. He reveals them to us in shadows and through a glass that's a bit foggy. We can't see exactly, but God reveals his plans and purposes to us. He unveils them step by step as we follow him. That's the first thing I want you to know. God has plans and purposes and promises for us. The second thing is this. If God has plans, the devil has schemes. The devil has devices. He. Here's the thing. The devil doesn't know all the promises and plans that God has in his heart for you, that he wrote for you before time began, before the world was created. He only catches up with it as it's pronounced and proclaimed. I don't think the devil knew God's plan for Jesus. If he did, he wouldn't have crucified him. I don't even think necessarily the devil knew as a baby who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God. All he knew was the angels were singing in heaven. There's Emmanuel, God with us. And so he began right from the outset. And you watch this pattern. As God reveals his promises and plans, the devil's schemes come to undermine those promises and plans. So what did he do? Well, he heard a baby was born who was the Messiah of the world, so he got Herod to kill all the babies under 2 years old. He didn't know which one, so he tried to get them all killed. He came along and he was pronounced, John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved son." I believe that's the first time the devil knew this was the Messiah, the Son of God. And in that moment, he begins to test him for 40 days, tempt him and test him. And Jesus passed the test and the temptation. The religious spirit, the religious people of the day opposed Jesus. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. They taught against him. His family disowned him and tried to stop him. The village he grew up in wouldn't believe he was the Messiah. The Romans came after him and ended up, along with the Jews, crucifying him. This is the devil's schemes. He hears God's plans and he begins to undermine and work. And he does it for your life and my life. We begin to get excited about what God's got for us. A prophecy, a word comes from God, a vision, a dream, a picture, and we begin to make a movement towards it. And the moment that prophecy comes, we get on a high, we get on the mountain, we have an experience with God, we hear about God's great plans of what he's going to do with us. And as we come off that moment, the devil, right at that moment, he heard it for the first time too, And he's going to do everything he can to undermine the promise of God. That's the devil's schemes. It's what begins to often happen in that moment is the opposite to what God promised happens. The opposite of God's plan happens as the devil begins to oppose. It's a normal part of a faith journey. I call it a kingdom reversal, and the enemy has a go. So God says, Joseph, you're going to be a ruler. Has a dream, your brothers are going to bow down to you. It's going to be incredible. And then what happens? 7 years as a slave, 7 years in prison. God has plans, the devil has schemes. What he's trying to do, and maybe some of you are right now in the middle of a kingdom reversal, 2020 might have actually served some things up into your life that are exactly the opposite of what you've been praying and believing God for. I want to encourage you today, don't stop believing the promises of God. Just understand, this is how it works. There are schemes to undermine you. The enemy wants to take the seed of God's word out of your heart before it produces what it was placed in there for. He wants to rob you of faith. He wants to dislodge faith out of your heart so that you stop believing. And he'll do whatever he can, and he'll use whatever person, whatever situation he can to rob you of God's promise and plans. But we don't stop there. That's the second thing we need to understand. The third thing we need to understand is this, that fasting and prayer pave the way for our but God moment. Fasting and prayer. You're like, John, I had a promise from God that I was going to have a financial breakthrough, and I was so excited, and then I lost my job. Does that mean God is that was a lie from God? No, it just means that God's got better plans for you. The enemy's trying to dislodge your confidence and faith, but God's got better plans. And the way God's plans come to pass is through fasting and prayer. For me, and I've shared this story before at your church, but for me, I began a business as a 21, 22-year-old with a promise from God that it would have a double portion. It would be epic. God, the wealth of nations would come to this business. And I thought, awesome, I've heard the promise. I've got a rhema word from God. I'm going to stand on that word. This is going to be awesome. Look out, world. Here comes prosperous businessman John. Well, unfortunately, the devil heard the word too. In the first few years, that business just did not get off the ground. In fact, after a while, we were losing money hand over fist, $5,000 a month. I wondered, God, where's your promise? I thought you said. And I began to understand that the way that God works, the Bible talks about Joseph when he was in prison, that the word of God tested him until his word came to pass. So I thought, oh, okay, I'm being tested. I need to begin to cooperate with God. I need to begin fasting and prayer because they pave the way for God's plans and for the breakthrough moment. Luke 5 verse 16 talks about Jesus doing this. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Remember, we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. How did he do all of this? Well, he often withdrew for prayer. When his disciples prayed for someone who was tormented and a demon wouldn't get cast out of them, and they tried to, they said, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And he said, you need to pray more and fast more to partner and cooperate with God to see this miracle come to pass. Fasting supercharges our prayers. It helps us shift unbelief and the blockages to answered prayer. It doesn't change God. Fasting changes us. So fasting and prayer is how we partner with God to see breakthrough happen. For me and my business, I just began to pray and declare the promises of God every morning. And after a season of prayer and fasting, I began to see the schemes of the enemy overcome and miraculous growth and turnaround in numerous occasions in my business. All right, fasting and prayer paved the way for breakthrough. What about number four in the journey of a but God moment? Number four is this: persistence is the key. Persistence is the key. I love George Mueller, who was a great orphanage builder, man of God. He believed in prayer so much that he documented every prayer request, 50,000 of them, and 50,000 of them were answered. He's got that many documented prayers that were answered. 5,000 of them were answered on the day that he prayed them. I like those kind. Come on, somebody. I know you do. I know you're at North Perth. You love it when that prayer gets answered on that day. It's awesome. But that's, what, 10%? That probably rings true for me. Some things I ask God and it's just like, whoa, that was so easy. Maybe 10% of the time. The majority of things, need persistence. Mueller said this, don't let yesterday's seemingly unanswered prayers stop you from praying in faith today. He prayed for one friend to become a Christian for 63 years until he finally became a Christian. Jesus taught, when he talked about prayer, he taught the power of just shameless persistence. He told two parables, one about a neighbor knocking on the door, the other about a woman coming to a judge. And both of them were stories of audacious asking and knocking and shameless persistence. And he said, when you pray, be like these people. Just don't stop asking. Don't stop asking. Just because it hasn't come doesn't mean it's a no. Delay is not denial. We need to develop persistence. We need to understand that in God's time frame, He's very different to us. When I pray prayers, when we pray prayers, come on, Jace, you know this. We tend to think like this, days, weeks, months. When God thinks, because He sits outside of eternity, the Bible tells us this, that a thousand years is unto a day to the Lord. And I'm like, oh no. So when God says, I'm going to do something soon, that doesn't really mean that much. When I think days, weeks, months, God thinks months, years, and generations. That's the time frame that He thinks in. So when we understand that, we understand we need to be persistent. But also understand this, that God's timing is impeccable. Just because something takes a long time doesn't mean it's not going to happen. More often than not, this is what I've found, God takes a long time, but then He moves suddenly. And suddenly, the prayer that you've been praying, God just takes you. Joseph got out of prison in a day. He was there 7 years, no signs at all that he was going to get out. And then one day he gets called for, has to shave off his big hairy barista beard, has to put on some clean clothes and some brute aftershave and do his hair and get a haircut and go before the Pharaoh. And in one day he gets out of the prison. He answers a dream that Pharaoh has, and Pharaoh makes him the prime minister of the whole nation. But God. He says to his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. That's what happens. It can happen just suddenly. Someone needs to know that you've got a but God moment coming suddenly and quickly. And often it's darkest before the dawning of the day. So hang in there. Your time's coming. The fifth thing is this, I want you to understand. The first we know is God's plans and promises are for every one of us. The second we know is the devil has schemes to off-put those things. The third we know is that prayer and fasting paves the way for these breakthroughs and but God moments. The fourth thing we know is persistence is the key. And the fifth thing we know here is this, that God takes the enemy's schemes and He causes them to backfire on Him. I love this about Jesus. The enemy had no idea that God's ultimate plan was to take the weapon, the very weapon that was formed against Jesus, the cross, has become the signature symbol of salvation to humanity. He takes what the enemy meant for evil and He turns it for good. I love this. Acts 3 verse 14, 15. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. Acts chapter 10 verse 39 to 40 says, and we apostles and witnesses of all He did through Judea and in Jerusalem. They put Him to death by hanging Him on a cross, the devil's scheme. But God raised Him to life on the third day. Someone who's watching online right now needs to know that that thing that's formed against you that seems to be prospering right now, God is going to take that weapon formed against you, and instead of it being successful against you, He's going to use the testimony in your hands, not just for you, but to deliver others. I've found out of my business experience and a number of years of pain and turmoil and sleepless nights that God has given me anointing for business. And it's true, because when you overcome something in the Spirit, God gives you an authority for that thing and an anointing for that thing. And the Bible says the thing that by which you were comforted, you will comfort others. I found now I'll pray for people who've had bad debts, and they'll have debts that are 5 and 10 years old, suddenly just come out of the blue and get answered. Why? Because God allowed me to overcome that and to get an anointing for that. And what you're walking through right now, it's not just about you. Your breakthrough moment is going to come where you're going to get an anointing to overcome others. That weapon will become your weapon. That test you're facing will become your testimony. that mess that you're in right now, come on somebody, that mess that you're in right now, God will turn it around and it will become a message. Mess with a bit of age, and the touch of God will become a message. Do you like that? That's a, kind of almost a dad joke, but it works. Hey, here's the thing. The ceiling that's been on your life up until now, the thing that's been restricting you, if you persist with God through prayer and fasting, if you wait for God's timing and just keep leaning in, not just sitting back and going, oh, if it's God's will, it's just going to happen. But if you lean in prayer, in praise, in fasting, in waiting on God, you'll find God will break through for you. And suddenly what was your ceiling, it'll become the platform for the next level of your life and ministry and experience. I love the story of a guy called Randy Clark. You may have heard of him. He's an American pastor and preacher that God's used powerfully in healing. And he tells the story that for 25 years, he prayed for people who were blind and never saw one of them get healed. Just prayed, didn't work, prayed, didn't work, prayed, didn't work. But then after 25 years, he prayed for one person. And as he prayed for one blind person, legally blind person, they got healed. Now what's this? He breaks through. The next 9 days, he sees 87 people who are legally blind, healed by the power of Jesus Christ, their eyes open. How does that happen? Because the ceiling becomes the new platform and level for you. I want to encourage somebody today. If you're believing God for breakthrough, your but God moment is coming. I want to encourage somebody today that if you've never connected with Jesus Christ, but God can deal with every issue you're facing and He can help you get through it. And I know Jason or the location pastor, wherever you are, is going to lead you and give you an opportunity to make that commitment to Christ. So I want to pray for you as we come to a close right now. Father, I just thank You for Your anointing in every location, online together. I want to thank You, Holy Spirit, that no matter what the enemy has come against Your people with, You're able to turn it for good. So I pray for confidence, for faith to rise. Lord, I pray even right now for fresh visions, dreams, and encouragement. That people remember the prophecies that You've given them and they'll begin to wage warfare according to those prophecies. Lord, I release healing power in Jesus' name. Let people be healed of long-term conditions. Let people be healed of sickness, autoimmune diseases right now. I come against the enemy who causes sickness and affliction and infirmity in the name of Jesus. I break Your power. Loose God's people. Lord, I release the healing power of God. Let anxiety be overcome. Let depression lift off right now. Father, let there be financial turnarounds and but God moments. Lord, I pray for the blessing of God on every location. For Hepburn Heights, for Quinns Beach, for the Bookit, for North Perth, and for the online community. Let the blessing of God be on every person today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, what a great privilege to be with you all. Thank you so much. We love you. We're praying for you. God bless you.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.